This is Robert Marglacci, publisher of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology e-magazine. Our September Back to School Cross Canada Spotlight features our very own province of Ontario. I'm honored to have join me this morning for a Mindshare Learning Moment, Ontario Education Minister Liz Sandals. Premier Wynne appointed Liz Sandals as Minister of Education on February 11th, 2013. Minister Sandals has extensive expertise in education as a parliamentary assistant. She led the Government Safe Schools Action Team and served on the Standing Committee. She is a past school board trustee and chair and served as president of OPSPA and sat on the board of directors for the Canadian School Board Association. Prior to her election, Sandals worked as a computer programmer, analyst, and taught computer science at the University of Guelph. Thank you for joining me today, Minister Sandals.
Well, it's great to be able to talk to you, Robert.
Well, it seems like your career prepared you for this role as Minister of Education with all that experience you have in the past.
It's come in very handy, having that background and being able to understand the school board system and what's going on in schools. So it's been great preparation.
Well, as a parent, back to school is an exciting time of year. I think the parents sometimes are more excited than the kids, perhaps, but what makes it special for you?
Well, I've got two grandsons. I've actually got three grandsons, but the little one's just still a tiny baby, so he isn't going to school. But the older two, one is going into senior kindergarten, full-day kindergarten. The other is going into, oh my goodness, like grade three already. He's just getting so old. But anyway, it's great fun to see the kids get ready and get their reaction to what's happening at school. And of course, as Minister of Education, it's very exciting to see the school year getting off to a smooth start and all the work that goes into that, and more full-day kindergarten classrooms opening this year.
Fantastic. Now, I'll bet those grandchildren of yours are somewhat tech savvy already. I know my nieces are handling the iPad and other devices, smartphones, and having fun with them.
Yeah, and the older one certainly is into all sorts of electronic games and gizmos too.
Now, from great to excellent, the next phase in Ontario's education strategy document, it's really impressive. It took some time to go through it. This is a bold and exciting initiative. Ontario has led the way nationally and internationally with graduation rates and PISA results. What inspired this document?
Well, and let me just do a little bit of bragging, because we're really excited about what we've been able to do since 2003.
By all means.
When we first started measuring the graduation rate, when we came in, it was 68%. We've now pushed the high school graduation rate up to 83%. And given today's employment market, if you don't have high school graduation, you're not getting a job. So we look on that as that 15% rise in the graduation rate as a whole lot of kids who have got a better chance at having a good rest of their life. So we're really thrilled about that. But we also understand that we've made some great progress, but you do need to keep checking in and saying, okay, what next? What is it that we can do to get even better at what we do as a school system? So that's what's driven the Great to Excellent consultations. I have what's called a partnership table, which is really all of the education stakeholders, the unions, the school boards, a variety of organizations that we consult with. They all sit at a partnership table. So we started off with the partnership table and saying, what are the questions we need to ask about what next? And then based on that input, we've put together the consultation document. And in the next few weeks and over the course of the fall, we'll actually be going all over the province and talking to people about what next. And one of the things that people that you're connecting with may be interested in is we will have some tech web ways of doing consultation and providing input. So you may have people who are listening to you or reading online and who may want to connect with the consultation and give their input.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like you're really doing your homework, as one of my professors always used to say.
Yeah, we always need to start with, what is it that people are thinking. And one of the things that we want to do is make sure that we actually go beyond the traditional education stakeholders, the people that I work with on a regular basis. We also want to check in with the business community and the parent community and the chambers of commerce. We want to check in with the agricultural community that actually has some interesting ideas about some of the things we need to do with education, and check into that broader community in Ontario and make sure that we're meeting the needs of everyone, not just the system itself.
Well, I'm impressed by that direction you're going, particularly when we look at the skills gap challenges that Ontario and Canada faces. That you have to be in tune with the needs of, you know, all stakeholders in preparing students for graduation and those who want to go into post-secondary, and having a vision for where they're going.
Well, and one of the challenges that we face when you talk to the employer community is we don't necessarily always end up with the graduates matching the jobs. And while the purpose of education isn't necessarily to perfectly match up students with jobs, we do need to be cognizant of what are the opportunities out there. And sometimes one of the pieces that's missing is how do we inform parents better about what the real opportunities are? Because sometimes the perceptions of parents about what's the best educational path for my child may not actually jive with what are the opportunities in your community for the education of your child that's actually going to lead to a concrete job offer. So some of this is talking to kids. A lot of it's talking to parents when we look at where do we go in the future and what are future opportunities.
Absolutely. The notion of becoming a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher, you know, those are traditional jobs that aren't necessarily in high demand today versus highly technical jobs or trades jobs. And I have friends whose kids are going to trades doing very well, and not everyone's cut out to be in an office or, you know, at the front of a classroom.
Well, and one of our successes in terms of raising the graduation rate has actually been focusing on some of those students who aren't academic learners. And we've introduced what we call specialist high skills majors. And that's a cluster of courses where it actually is focused on going into a trade, but it could be focused on going into the agri-food industry or into the hospitality industry. And it includes work experience for the student as part of their high school curriculum. And the students who come out with a specialist high skills major designation on their high school diploma are often snapped up as, apprentices, or if they're thinking about going to college or university, it may help them focus on what do I really want to do at college and university to pursue a particular career. So we're having great success with that focus.
That's fantastic. Getting that real-world experience is really valuable for our youth, for sure. Now, technology seems to be creeping into the classrooms more and more. What advice do you offer parents who are keen to have their children bring their latest technology, tablet or smartphone, into the classroom?
Well, I think it's great to see parents engaged and taking an interest in their children's school experience and their children's learning. I think in that case, I would be talking to the teacher about what are the opportunities, and even if they're not taking it into the classroom, there's a conversation to be had about how can we set up my kid's iPad, or what software should we be looking for, so that at home the child can be reinforcing what they're doing at school. But it's an area where you need to be talking to the school about what are the opportunities to use the technology in schools. And that's one of, with the consultation that we'll be doing on Great to Excellent, is actually talking about how do we use the technology in the future. What is it that we want to do with technology in the classroom? Because I think people often think in terms of technology in the classroom as learning about the technology. And yeah, that's useful. But I think what's more useful is that students learn how to use the technology productively. Because so much of what kids do with technology is texting and games and not necessarily a great use of time, that where the school system can help to direct kids is, you've got this great technology. Now, how do you actually use that technology to further your education, to get more information? And then we need to work with kids to help them understand that just because you found it on the web, it isn't really necessarily accurate. So how do you distinguish good information that's accurate and reliable from something that's maybe a little bit more questionable?
Absolutely. Now, with the technology brings challenges around the bullying issues that have arisen in the past, and technology can be an accelerator. What advice do you offer parents and teachers in addressing bullying prevention?
So, a number of issues here. As you mentioned earlier on, I chaired something called the Safe Schools Action Team, and we did a lot of work on bullying and issue, cyberbullying in particular. So one of the things that we did do was give school principals the authority to discipline in the case of cyberbullying, because there was, just to start with, a legal question, because cyberbullying tends to, in a lot of cases, take place off-site in the evening, but then it has a tremendous impact for the victim on what happens to them then during the school day if they're being targeted by cyberbullying. So the first thing we needed to sort out was that, yes, legally the school does have the authority to discipline. But the second thing we observed is that a lot of parents don't really monitor their children's use of technology, of the web, and that parents bear some responsibility for actually monitoring what their kids are doing outside of school. And then what the school can do is talk to students about safe internet use, which is to protect themselves, and appropriate internet use, which is what you do and don't do with respect to other people with whom you're communicating.
Thank you for that, and I'm sure you have a wealth of resources on your website, and there's PrevNet is a not-for-profit initiative that is out of York University and Queen's University. So there are a wealth of resources that help parents and teachers better understand some of those anti-bullying strategies.
Yes, and PrevNet's one of the groups that we've worked with quite closely.
Excellent. Well, segue into 21st century learning. I've been part of C21 Canada initiative, Canadians for 21st Century Learning Skills. And I'm curious to what your perspective is on the notion of 21st century learning. It's almost a brand, if you will, in preparing our future leaders to be global digital citizens.
Well, we've actually done some interesting things here at the Ministry of Education. One thing that parents aren't necessarily well aware of is that we actually have a homework help. So, for example, and it's specifically kids in grades 7 to 10, and actually the biggest focus tends to be on math tutoring, because you actually often will hear parents say, gee, I can't help my kid, this is getting beyond me. So there actually is an online math tutoring homework help site run by the Ministry of Education. Another thing which I think is a great opportunity is that there's a number of credit courses that are available online, and this is really important in rural and northern Ontario. Absolutely. Where we often have small high schools, and they struggle to offer the whole range of courses, so that this means that senior students in some of the smaller schools can actually access the credits online and do them more independently, but still get the credits that they may want to pursue a particular career when they go graduate and go on to post-secondary.
Well, my daughter has been a great customer of Homework Help, and it helped her achieve honor standing this past year. So
excellent.
But it is sort of a bit of a well-kept secret, and we're happy to promote that for you. But, you know, I guess the notion of 21st century skills, and you also had, a group focused on that and developing some strategies around 21st century learning, because it's not just about technology. It's about communication and digital awareness and all those sorts of skills that are essential in preparing kids. If we talk about the 7 C's, if you will.
Yeah, and one of the things that's really important is critical thinking, and that sort of weaves in and out with technology, but just as that students really can look at whatever the situation is, whether it be related to technology or whether it's related to anything else, and have the capacity to critically analyze whatever the situation is, and how do you go about that independent critical thinking? Because down the line, that's the skill that actually employers are going to be looking for, and it's going to help you succeed as you move on through life.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. As we wrap up, I have one last fun question that I'd like to ask my interviewees is, what technology can you not do without?
My BlackBerry. I am a typical politician. I must have my BlackBerry.
Now, do you have the latest one, or are you in the queue to get the new one soon?
I'm in the queue to get a new one because I'm one of those people who really actually likes a keyboard.
I have an appreciation for
that. I do
all
my email on my BlackBerry, so I'm not ready to give up my keyboard.
There you go. There's a little plug for RIM. Any final thoughts to share with our audience as it relates to leadership, learning, technology as we prepare for back to school?
I think what we need to do better as a system is figure out how to fully lever the possibilities of using technology in schools. And hopefully as we look at what's next in Ontario education, that's part of the conversation we need to have.
Well, with that, I thank you so much, Minister Sandals.
Thank you so much. It's been a delight to talk to you.
That was Ontario Minister of Education, Liz Sandals. Be sure to check out the Mindshare Learning Report to get your latest issue. And my name is Robert Martellacci, and until next time, keep the learning curve steep.